Let's look over at Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12, working through these scriptures and here in Mark. The book of Mark, as we go through the book of Mark, there's 16 chapters in the book. This will, today I believe, will conclude the 12th chapter of Mark. I'm going to start off by reading verses 38 through 40, 38 through 40 of Mark chapter number 12. The Bible says, "And he said unto them in his doctrine." That's an interesting way to say that. Jesus saying unto them in his doctrine. Doctrine is teaching. He's teaching something here. He's showing something of importance. He says, "Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplaces and the chief seats in the synagogues and the uppermost rooms at feasts. Watch this, which devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These shall receive greater damnation." Interesting passage we're going to look at today. Let's start off with prayer, though. God, thank you for today. We thank you for the service thus far. Thank you for the good spirit amongst those that are here in the house of God. I pray, Father, that you'd help me as I preach. I pray that the word of God would be effectual, God, that it would find receptive hearts today in each one that's here. We do pray, God, if there be some lost among us, God, that you'd help them to see their need of Christ and that you'd show them that salvation is not a work of man but a work of God, and they can take benefit in that if they'll just repent of their sin and turn to Jesus today, and, Lord, they can be saved. Lord, help us all that are already saved, God, to receive some help from God, from your word today, and we just pray that you would watch over us now in this time and move mightily in this service. I pray if anybody came today not planning to listen today, God, that you'd tune them in anyway and help them, God, to see that your word's worth it and that you're worth it. Help us, Lord, to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, here, Mark 12. We're going to keep our place here in Mark 12 and then flip over to Matthew 23. Now, Matthew 23 takes 36 verses to say, in a sense, expand upon what Mark said here in three verses, all right? And we're not going to read all this. I want to point out a few things to just kind of show you what Jesus was teaching in this day. Remember, we are in that time frame just before the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, of course, going through all the things there before Pontius Pilate and Herod, and then Christ being crucified. We're in that last week prior to this taking place. Jesus is giving some final thoughts, if you will, some teachings, and he points out the hypocrisy of the religious leaders of that day. He pulled no punches. He spoke it very plainly as he's fixing to go to the cross. And so we find in Matthew 23 and in verse number 1, it says, "Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat." That's powerful. And it shows us that there was a position that God instituted in Israel, a leadership position and structure that God recognized. Even though these leaders were not who they were supposed to be, they were still in that position. Just because a leader doesn't do right with their position doesn't mean that God just, in a sense, ignores the reality that they have that position. No, we are responsible for the positions that we have, whether we account that we want to have that position or even be faithful in that position or even do it God's way. These religious leaders, God saw them as in the seat of Moses. Amen. Moses did a whole lot better job with that seat. Nonetheless, they were still in that position. And he said in verse number 2, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever thou bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not." Now, what the Pharisees said in reference to the scripture was right. But their heart in how they actually would go about fulfilling the law and all that was wrong. And that's what Jesus is going to call attention to here. He said, what they tell you to observe by the law, do it. But he says, do not after their works. Don't follow them in this, because they say and then they do not. In other words, they were telling you what to do. Do as I say, not as I do, that kind of thing. They were telling them what to do, but their heart was not right in it. What they said was right, their heart in not performing it correctly was wrong. And so Jesus was just saying, don't follow their ways. Just listen to what they're saying, because what they're saying is right. Verse 4, for they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. So again, he's saying they're binding heavy burdens there and they're laying that on you. They themselves are not willing to participate in this, and they're laying it upon you, but he's still saying you follow suit with that. Don't let them discourage you. You know, sometimes leadership can be discouraging. Lee Robertson and others have said that everything rises and falls on leadership. And there's a lot of truth to that. We as leaders, we do set the tone. We do set some things in motion, and people tend to either be helped or hurt by how we lead. But here's a little help that I can give to you. No matter whether your leaders are right or not, no matter if they are leading you astray or not, no matter what they do, don't let your leaders drag you to a bad place. We have a responsibility as individuals. We're all going to give an account individually without, we can't pass the blame, in other words. It's easy to blame shift for, you know, like Adam and Eve, they blame shifted, right? God called them out on the fact that they ate of that forbidden fruit. And Eve, you know, we find that, well, Adam blamed his wife, and then Eve blamed the snake, amen? And the snake didn't have a leg to stand on, amen? And so we know that everybody's wanting to pass blame, amen? And that's the way of the world. That's the way it goes. But you and I as believers are different, amen? We know there's corruption in this day that we live. We know that we fall under corrupt leadership. And we even know leaders with all the best intentions in mind sometimes do some things that we really shouldn't follow, or we don't want to follow their example, amen? So don't let yourself get kind of brought into that place to where you find yourself doing wrong and then you blame others for your wrong. God is not going to let you get away with that, amen? And so they're responsible, we're responsible. Watch what God says here in verse 5. It says, but all their works they do for to be seen of men. And they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue. That was right there from what Mark said. And the greetings in the marketplace and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. I love how it says that, all ye are brethren. We are all in this thing together. We all have a position. We all have a place. God has given us a place. I love in the local church, the concept there of the local church, to where we're all just many members. And it's not one person more important than another. I am not more important than you as a church member. We are all in this thing. That's why I don't sit up on the platform. I just don't believe that I have a position. I know I have a position of oversight. I know I have a position in the church and all that, but I'm not the Lord over the people. We are all one in this thing. And so we just want to keep that mindset that we are a body made up of many members. And if one member suffer, we all suffer. If one member hurt, we all hurt. Amen. If one member rejoices, we all rejoice together. It is that group concept that God has put together. And we want to make sure that we don't allow a position to go to our head, or that we don't allow maybe a talent that we have go to our head, or don't allow maybe some knowledge that you've gained go to your head, and we start thinking we're somebody, because the reality is that we're just a bunch of nobodies, amen, and we fall under a somebody named Jesus Christ. It's because of him that we're here, not because of who we are, amen, and that is a blessing. For the Pharisees, for the scribes, for the Sadducees, for these religious leaders of that day, they began to think that they were important, that they were somebody, and it corrupted their religion, if you will. Now, the religion itself, based on the Word of God, was right, but how they meted it out, how they developed it, how they used it for themselves was wrong. Amen? And that's what God's calling out in this text. Watch what it says in this text, beginning of verse number 9. It says, and call no man your father upon the earth. That doesn't mean that in a family context you can't call dad father. This is talking about in a religious context. We're not to call in a religious context anybody our father. Why? Because for one is your Father which is in heaven. That's what the Bible says, amen. Neither be ye called masters, right? Not to call each other in a religious context masters. Why? For one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall be exalted, but whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, watch this, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. I actually titled the message today, Religious Hypocrites Will Receive the Greater Damnation. It says, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Why? Because in their position in Moses' seat, they had the position, the power, the means to lead people to God, but instead they led people away from God unto themselves. They were leading people to serve them, not to serve God. And they weren't serving anybody but self. And God said, for that, you will give an account. We may know people like that. And we may have been affected by people like that. But listen, we don't take vengeance. And we don't have to be the ones that mete out a response there. God will deal with all of those like that. Jesus said in this context, in this passage, he said to the people, still listen to what they're saying. Listen to the words they're saying. And then act upon those in a godly sense. Don't follow their heart in this thing, but do follow what they're saying. They're preaching the truth. They're preaching the word of God. It's just the application, how they go about it, was wrong. And so the people were still responsible, but so were the leaders. And Jesus said, you're not going to heaven. You're lost. And by the way, you're going to receive greater damnation for this thing. You can see why the scribes and Pharisees hated Jesus so much in that day. He just called it out. I know in our day, we're not Jesus. And sometimes if we just preach the truth, sometimes we get maybe labeled for maybe calling somebody out unjustly, all those different things. Jesus totally justified in here. He knew exactly what he was doing. And the people hated him for it. He was actually challenging their position and their livelihood. And they even said that one must die so that we can maintain what we have going on here because it's a good deal for us, though it wasn't. Physically speaking, they made a good a wage on the backs of the people, but they were not doing God's work with the position God gave. Just a couple more verses here. Listen to this. It says in verse number 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, ye make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides. Jump down to verse number 24. It picks up that thought on blind guides. It says, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That's quite the picture there, amen. They strain it on that, the little details that don't really matter. They make those big deals. And then the things that are huge deals, they swallow that down like it's no big deal. That's kind of what it's saying here. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within you are full of extortion and excess. He says, you focus on the outside. You want your outside to look all proper, but on the inside, you're wicked. And you don't do anything about that. On the outside, you look clean. On the inside, you're very, very filthy. It says in verse number 27, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres. That's a grave that's been whitewashed on the outside, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. What an indictment. Verse 28, even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Can I say this is a warning to all of us? Amen. That we don't focus primarily on the outside, but you focus on that inside being clean. And can I say, if the inside's clean, the outside will follow suit. But if we focus on the outside and leave the inside filthy, then we become hypocritical. We're living that life, that dual life, where as long as I appear good out here, it doesn't matter what happens in my mind and in the background and behind closed doors and all that. That's the life of the Pharisee. That was the life of the scribe. That was the life of these religious leaders, that Jesus called them out and said, all you people look at them and you look at them like they're some religious, you know, gurus. But the reality is that inside they are lost and destitute. And not only that, they're wicked and they're extorting you for their own pleasure and gain. This is the message that Jesus spoke to them in that day. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, verse 29, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous. Look at verse number 33. Ye serpents, he calls them. Ye serpents. Ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, what? This is amazing. Jesus said, wherefore? Because that is your end, and I know it. Jesus said, I'm going to do something that if you'll take what I'm sending, it'll help you. He says, wherefore I send unto you prophets. Whoa, wait a second, Jesus. They're killing the prophets. Jesus said, yeah, but they need the prophets. They're killing the preachers that are just preaching truth and calling them out. But Jesus says, yeah, but they need it. And if they don't receive that message, then they're going to hell. And he says, I died for them. He says, I would that none would perish, but that all would come to repentance. See, we don't throw people under the bus. We don't write people off. Amen. Sure, they might be in a bad way, and how we reach them might be limited. But we still pray that there would be a preacher that's able to reach the worst of the worst. And it may not be me, and it may not be you, but I pray it's somebody, amen, that can reach all of humanity and all mankind, and even the religious people. I was reading through there about searching land and sea to make one proselyte, and then, of course, basically making twofold more the child of hell than themselves. I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses, which are everywhere. They're all over the place, and they're preaching false doctrine. It's a false salvation. It's a works-based. See, how can you say that? I'm just judging righteous judgment by the word of God. When you look at their doctrine, it's not doctrine to lead them to Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen. But they're serious about it. And they spend all kinds of money after it. Amen. And in a sense, with their effort, put us to shame. The problem is, and the sad testimony is the fact that, but what they're preaching is not truth. And it binds heavy burdens upon people, but doesn't save their soul, you see. And that's where the Pharisees were. That's where the Sadducees were. Verse number 34, and if you're not sure about their doctrine, come see me afterwards. We'll wade through their doctrine, and I'm not trying to be harsh and critical. I've had some experiences with them, but I've never been in that organization. But I have all kinds of books and materials, and we've helped a lot of people that have gone that route to come out and try to come out of that. Amen. Because it just doesn't hold the water of Scripture. It doesn't stand the test. Amen. It says, wherefore, behold, I send you the prophets and wise men. And it says in our text that some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. He says, I'm going to send them to you anyway, even though you're not going to do right with them. Okay, with that backdrop now, go back, if you will, to Mark 12. In these few verses that Mark pointed out in reference to this text. Because now we see the full tenor of the message that Jesus was preaching in that day to the scribes, to the Pharisees, these hypocritical religious leaders that in a sense preached the word that was there, but the way that they lived it and administered it and what they were inside was wicked. And Jesus called them out on it. Watch, this text in Mark actually shows us where their error was. And I want to focus on that today. Mark 12, again in verse 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing and love salutations in the marketplace. Now, we're going to stop there and begin to look at this. Beware of the scribes which love to go in long clothing. You've heard me say before that there's three basic words for love that we typically have in the New Testament. We've talked a lot recently this year already about charity. Charity is a godly love. It's a giving love. It's for God so loved the world, that kind of love. That's charity. And then there is a phileo type charity, which is a brotherly type love charity. It's not agape love, it's a brother love. It's a love where we enjoy the fellowship one with another and then co-labor there. We seek to be a help to one another. It's just a Philadelphia, if you will, a Philadelphia type of love. And then there's an eros love, which is a passionate type of love. Those three are real prominent in scriptures, those three types of love. This particular word love is athaleo. It's different, totally different. And you rarely, matter of fact, that's the only time it's used this way in the scriptures, which is really fascinating. The word itself is used often, but not this way. This word for love here is different. And this is what it means. It means a self-pleasing love. It's to be inclined based on one's own will. It's very interesting in this context. He says, beware of scribes which love to go in long clothing. As religious leaders, they wore what they wore for themselves. They wore what they wore because of how they liked it. They liked their clothing. They liked what others thought of when they saw them in that clothing. They liked it. It pleased them. It's an interesting thing because you would say, well, what's wrong with long clothing? Nothing. As a matter of fact, Bible speaks well of it. Amen. Clothing that actually covers. Clothing that's actually long. Some may, out of context, take this and say, see, I shouldn't be wearing long clothing because Jesus rebuked the scribes for it right here. Well, that would be taken out of context. Jesus is not rebuking the long clothing here. He's rebuking the scribes because they loved it. They loved for how others viewed them based on that clothing. You see, very interesting. They loved their clothing because it caused them pleasure based on how others viewed them in it. And God pointed this out as a problem. Next, it says that they loved salutations in the marketplace. Now, in the actual verse, that word love there, actually italicized, it's looking back to that first word love. And so in this context, it's applying that word love to everything that's in here. Loving the salutations in the marketplace. Loving the chief seats in the synagogues. Loving the uppermost rooms at feasts. Amen. These are things that they loved. These are things that pleased them. These are things that brought them that pleasure that they were looking for. They were loving self in this way. So the love of the marketplace would be the public place where they would go out and do commerce, just that normal day-to-day activity. They would go out and they would dress in a certain way that as they went out in the marketplace, people took notice. Look at that. That's a scribe. Woo! Woo! That's a Pharisee right there. Look at that. So glad I got to see one of them today. Look how godly they are. Oh, then they'd go over and stand, they'd pray, oh God. Right? And they would draw attention to themselves in this religious way. Not because they were street preaching and trying to get the truth to people, but because they were engaged in activities dressed all nice in their garb so that people would look at them and say, look how godly they are. Look how righteous they are. I mean, they are the standard, right? Man, I wish I could be like that. They just have it. They are all together. They are God's people right there. But when God spoke about them, he says, no, outwardly they appear righteous. They do. They appear righteous. But inward they're full of dead man's bones. Inward, they're just a bunch of hypocrites who ignore the word of God and do whatever they want. Inwardly, they're wicked. Now, outwardly, yeah, it looks like they got it together. Jesus is calling this hypocrisy out. They love their position. I know people in ministry. They can't stand to not be in the position they're in. I don't know what I'd do if I wasn't a pastor. I don't know. Maybe just keep serving God. That might be a good idea, amen? I don't know. Why is the position so important? Does it really matter? It doesn't matter. If God wants you to be a pastor, be a pastor. If God says, no, your time's up now, I got something else for you, then do that. It doesn't matter. We call people all the time as pastors. If God's calling you away from your occupation, bless God, you ought to leave that and go serve Jesus somewhere. Take your advice, amen. Amen. The point is this, it's not the position that we serve. It's not the position that we love. It's God we love. It's not the clothes that we love. A lot of people in the world wear their clothes because they like it. They like to go around mostly naked and accentuate different areas and things like that. And we call them out on it because they're wearing too tight of clothing and they're wearing stuff that they shouldn't be. We call them out on that. But wait a second, dear saint. If what you wear, your righteous garb that you wear, you like it because of how others view you, you got the same problem the Pharisees have. You get the same problem that God called the scribes out for. Your focus is on, look at me. I look righteous. Look at all them, the pathetic people wearing things that are revealing. Look at all that. Look at me. I got it together. And when people see me, they know I'm a Christian. That's a problem. That's not why we wear what we wear. We wear what we wear, and we do what we do, not because of us, not because of who we are, or so that we feel good about ourselves. Our acceptance is in God, not in us. That's what it's supposed to be. It's not on what we do. It's what he did, you see. And that's where we gain our acceptance. And these religious hypocrites, they began to love their attire, love their positions, love how people viewed them in the marketplace out in public, because obviously they were righteous and everybody else was wicked. They began to love that feeling that it gave, you see. And Jesus is just calling them out on it. They began to love the uppermost rooms at the feast. Oh, it's an important person. You get the uppermost room in that whole auditorium. This is the place, the box seating up there. And look at all the cameras. Oh, look, there's this really important person watching a football game. Whoa, they're a billionaire. They flew in on their private jet. They're so important. That's what I think about all that, amen. But this is, it's not just those religious or those figures in our society. It's the religious crowds that do that now. Whoa, you get to sit on a platform with all these others important preachers. Woohoo! That's not what it's about. It's not, you think, do they love that? Sure they do. Better be careful. That's not why we do what we do. That's what Jesus is pointing out here. It's that if we begin to do what we do because we love it, because we like how it feels. I like it when people look at me like that. I like people look at me and think how godly I am. I like it when people say, man, that's a godly person. Look what they're doing. Look who they are. Look at what they get to do. They get to sit amongst those people. They get to go to those places. They get to, man, people are making all over them. See, begin to like it. And Jesus said, that's a problem, you see. Say, well, what will be the outpouring of this? What did the Pharisees and scribes do with their positions and influence and power? It's a good question. Obviously, this text points out that people saw them as influential. People saw them as powerful. And when we have that influence, now we're responsible with that influence. Well, what did they do with it? Well, The next part of our text says that they which devour widows' houses. They used their influence, they used their religious clout so that they could devour. Now, in the other passage in Matthew, it said that they extorted. They extorted resources from the widows, those amongst them that would be the least capable of even making it in society. They extorted from them. Devour means to wildly eat down. To devour would be like if there was a meal in front of you and you ate it all down in about 30 seconds flat, man, you devoured it, right? Done, right? That was the picture there. They didn't just, man, you know what? They were serving the God. They were helping these people. And in the end, it came out where, yeah, the widow was, no, devour is the word used. That they sought to devour them, take for them, consume them, to totally leave them without any resource. The scribes used their positions, influence, and power to take from the least in order to increase their own positions. The scribes were not givers. They were takers. They did not help others. They demanded that others helped them, would help them. They did not give to others. They demanded that others would give to them. They did not seek to lift others up. They put burdens on others so that they could themselves be lifted up in the uppermost seats. They ruled by manipulation and extortion. These people were afraid. When they withstood Jesus, they were afraid. Remember that one young man that got healed, and then he was a beggar, and the Pharisees went and asked the parents about him and all that. They were afraid to speak up to the Pharisees because the Pharisees would have kicked them out of the synagogue if they would have spoke the truth. When we get to the day that as religious leaders now we're threatened by the truth, something's wrong. That's exactly where they were today. If you know somebody and their lifestyle is threatened by a right interpretation of Scripture, they fit in this category. They love the position. They love the seat. They love to be viewed. Look at me, I'm godly. When inside they're wicked, they're adulterous. They're injurious. They're profane. Can I say there is a problem with that? You see, and Jesus is calling it out here. They rule by manipulation and extortion instead of love and a sincere care for the people. So what did the scribes do with their position and influence and power? We find that they devoured widows' houses. And for a pretense, they would make long prayers. That pretense, that word means it's an outward show. For an outward show, they would get up and just pray nice and long in the place just so that people could say, wow, that person, they are so righteous, so godly. It was a show to them. It was for them. It helped nobody but them. It helped them to feel good about themselves, but it didn't help anybody conquer sin and live a righteous life before God from the heart. It didn't help anybody go to heaven. It didn't help anybody deal with their real issues. It just helped themselves feel good about themselves. The Bible says they shall receive the greater condemnation. Now, with this thought, let's finish out this chapter, Mark 12, 41 through 44. After this message that Jesus preached, and make no doubt about it, it was a hellfire and brimstone type of message, amen, that he preached in the streets on that day, amen. Amen, amen. He looked over and he pointed out true religion. You got to see the whole comparison here. He's calling out this religious crowd that looks right. I mean, they're dressed right. They speak right in public. Everything they do is like, oh, righteous. Then you have this other lady over here, probably a little decrepit. She's walking over to the treasury and she just tosses in just a little bit of money. And Jesus points out something with her. Watch this, verse 41, Mark 12. Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came in a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, and she of her want did cast in all that she had, even her living. Jesus showed us that there's two type of religious people. First, there are those that are half in and half out, not fully engaged, that use religion for their own purpose and their own gain, who really don't care about others. It's just all about them. It's how it makes them appear. It's how it makes them feel. It's the connection. Some people go to church simply because, man, I get a lot of connections, business connections while I'm there. And I go to the big place because, man, that's where all the important people go. I mean, that's what religion is to them. It's just all a show. It's just, I showed up. And because I showed up, people know I'm at least religious enough to show up. And I wore my best, and I did this, and I did that. It's all about me. Half in, half out, half-hearted, lukewarm Christianity. That's the one group Jesus pointed out. The other is the group that's all in. Just all in. And it's seen here by this widow. And she was willing, wasn't a big show. She didn't walk in with the things around her garments, with the bells around her garments. Everybody knew she was coming in. Clank, 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 making all the, you know, look at me like the Pharisees and all that did. It wasn't like that. Just real, you know, behind the scenes kind of thing going on here. And she went over there, nice, you know, not calling attention. She didn't want to call attention. I mean, she's tossing into the treasury less than anybody else. And just cents in our day and age, just a couple pennies, if you will. And she just goes over there and ding, and it goes. Nobody thought anything of it. Nobody said, whoa, what a godly woman. Nobody held her up in high regard and said, whoa, 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 come sit over here in the high seats, in the box seats over there. You just did something amazing. Nobody did that. But Jesus, who knows our heart, he pointed her out and said, right there, disciples, that's it. That is pure religion. Is that crazy? Two types of people. Two types of Christians, two types of professed Christians, let me put it that way. Two types of people involved in religion. Those that are in it for a show, it's all superficial. It's all on the outside. Inside, wicked. It's all on the outside. And then the real deal. Might not look the best on the outside sometimes, but growing. But her heart is in tune with God. She's all in heart. It's not about her. It's not about, hey, look what I did. I helped out somebody today. Hey, I did this for so-and-so. Hey, I... No, it's not about that. Just quietly behind the scenes. Just doing what's right behind the scenes. And Jesus pointed it out. I have a question for you. Why do you do what you do in religion, in life? Why do you wear what you wear? It's a good question. Here we find Jesus, he called somebody out that was wearing the right clothing and said, you wear it for the wrong reason. Why do you work the job that you work? Pharisees worked the job because it granted them the greatest position amongst the people, and they got them the uppermost. They did it for themselves. Why do you attend church? These are questions to ask ourselves. Why do you serve a role in church? Why do you teach a class? Why do you work in the nursery? Why do you clean? Why do you mow? Why do you do anything, right, in the church? Why do you pass out tracts? Why do you do something? These are questions we have to ask. Is it just outward? Or is it because inside you've given it all to Jesus? And it really doesn't matter externally what your life is. See, to most Christians, it does matter externally what our life is. It does. But the reality, it shouldn't. I'm bought with a price. And it really doesn't matter what my life is out here. I've been born again. I know Jesus. I'm accepted in the beloved. And whatever he has for me to do is fine. Whatever that life is he wants me to live is fine. I just want to do right by God. Not because I'm trying to impress people. Not because I'm trying to, you know, get a box seat somewhere in some religious program. Not because I'm trying to extort from the people. No, because I want to serve Jesus and help people. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. That's what he taught me to do. That's what he's taught. If we're disciples, we're two commandments. Everything hangs on. We're to love the Lord our God. All of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength. And that second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. That's where it starts. And that's what needs to guide our lives. Why do you give or not give? Why? These are questions we have to ask, because before God looks at our actions, he first looks at our heart. See, I've done all these things, and God has never paid me good for them. Well, maybe because he's not seeing your good works, because he can't get past your wicked heart. See, as he goes to look at that good work, he sees the inside of your tomb, and he's like, can't get past that. Our good works mean nothing. Amen? Unless it comes from a regenerated heart fueled by the power of God. They mean nothing. We don't do what we do to manipulate God. We don't do what we do to manipulate people. We just want to serve God. And whatever happens, happens. The scribes did not love God. We can agree with that, right? The scribes did not love God. The scribes definitely didn't love widows. And they didn't love people. But I'll tell you who they loved. They loved themselves. They loved themselves. When love for self is the motivation for our lives, we will all end up like the scribe and the Pharisee. Let me say that again. When love for self is the motivation for our life, we'll end up like the scribe and Pharisee. So what's that look like? A great concern about how we look on the outside, while inside we're dark and we're doing wrong and we're sinful and wicked. The Bible says we're to cast out every imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and to bring every thought into the captivity of Christ. The true believer cares about that verse. The scribe and Pharisee doesn't care about it. They make excuses. I'm just human. No, you're a child of God. Thank you. If you're born again, you're a child of God. And God has greater things for you than that. You say, well, I don't care about my outside. You can have a poor outside and still have an inside that's wicked. This particular message was, on the outside, I'm concerned about that. But on the inside, I'm okay with it being wicked. And Jesus said that's wrong. So when love for self is the motivation for our lives, we end up like the scribes and the Pharisees, who will have a very horrible experience after we pass from this life. Secondly, when love for God and others is the motivation for our lives, then we are willing to do and be anything for God's glory and the right to help our neighbor. Let me say that again. When love for God and others is the motivation for our lives, then we are willing to do and be anything for God's glory and the right to give right help to our neighbors. When you sincerely embrace God, he pours his love into your heart, so that we are no longer driven by the flesh anymore, but by a heart which is in tune with God. The scribes embraced religion without a love for God. Think of that. They embraced religion without a love for God, and it produced a selfish, self-serving result, which God said was worthy of hell. That's what he said. Wow. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for today. We thank you for the passages of Scripture like this that we can look at. And Lord, it really ought to cause us all concern as we look at this and we see this great exterior display that this group put on. And Jesus pointed out that outwardly they appear righteous. I mean, their outward appearance was that of righteousness. But yet inwardly they were ravening wolves. They were extortioners. They were dark. They were wicked. They only cared about the outward. They did not care about their inward wickedness. And they made excuse for it. They didn't love you. They didn't love others. They extorted others so that the scheme that they dreamt up could go on. They were willing to crucify Christ so that this charade could continue. And I'm thankful, Christ, that you called them out on it and recorded it for us so that we could have it as a warning. You said, beware. God, help us, Lord, just to consider our own selves. And we might not be to this extent. We might just be some degree somewhere in between. I don't know. But examine us today. And God, if there be any resemblance of what the Pharisees were, the scribes, help us, Lord, to see it so we can make it right today. Lord, if there be anybody that's lost, they've never embraced Christ, they've never truly come to Christ for salvation, might they be willing to come forward and allow someone to show them truth today that they might be born again? Thank you for our church. Thank you for the love that many have for you. But God, this is the message you gave for today. I pray that you'd help and use it in our lives for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Heads, eyes closed for a moment. The pianist is going to play.